right.
Damn, right. Going?
Yeah, I'm waiting for Joel.
You know you've jinxed yourself by talking about that, right?
Yeah, right. I know. Let's
ready?
Go. 1, 2, 3.
Right. Yeah, I want to make sure I'm recording.
You're behind, man. Go.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Don't be hating on my household attire, okay? I don't go to Walmart like this.
Pizza, pizza.
Showtime! Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bath. For the strong link, go direct to DLNGS.org. And IRC challenge the LinuxTech.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the challenge is about to begin.
Welcome to episode 895 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Alan.
Hello, hello.
We have Pat.
Early appearance.
Almost spring.
We have Jolie.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
That's me.
We got Richie. Rich.
From the Hughes compound, Northern Command. Quite possibly the last time here.
Are you selling yet?
That is right.
You're in Long Island?
Awesome.
Correct. Been here for 3 weeks.
Oh. You should make a good profit, too.
Well, you know
I
what?
Hope so.
It's. I'm glad you're on, because I do have a question for you. You might be able to answer in a minute. But before I ask you that question, Joel.
Yes, sir.
I made 2 purchases this week. Can you guess what they were?
No, I can't. But anyway.
You can't
a sous vide.
No. Actually.
He already had one of those.
I made a sous vide purchase last week. Because I think I might have mentioned this on the show, but I dropped my sous vide like 8 months ago. And it didn't, like, it was fine. It was like, oh man, like right after the pandemic started, I had dropped it and the only thing that broke on it were 2 of the tabs on the plastic piece that's on the bottom where the fan rotator is.
Uh-huh.
And I could still put it on because there was one left and it would still snap in. And I emailed the company to ask whether I could just buy that piece because I couldn't find a replacement piece on Amazon or anything at that time. And I never heard back from them, and I've been using it and it works fine. But every time I, you know, take it out of the water or something, it has a tendency to jostle and then fall off. And then I got to fish it out. And then, so I finally, I'm like, all right, I'm kind of sick of it. Even though it still works, I got a new sous vide last week and I gave this one I have to my neighbor and said, you know, hey, if you would like to try it, this works. It works great. It just keeps, you know, the part might fall off. So here, have it. So, yeah, I did get a new sous vide, but that's not what I got this week. I actually finally broke down and bought a monitor for the basement. And that arrived today. And I didn't, you know, I wasn't really looking for a monitor. I had
one. How big of a tube is it?
It's a 13-inch black and white.
Tube?
Two color. No, it's not a tube. It's a 24-inch Spectre LED monitor. I bought it primarily because I've been having a problem for the past couple of months. And like every so often, my storage device would just lose connection to the NAS. And when this first started happening, I looked this up and I looked the error messages up that I was seeing in the logs and everything was indicating. So 2 things were happening. That was happening and occasionally it would just lose its network connection. And the device was running, but I couldn't access it because it's headless. And so I would have to restart it and then occasionally have to play around with the Ethernet cable or whatever. And at first I switched the Ethernet cable and it was fine for a bit, but then it did it again. So I kind of thought it was just a bad Ethernet cable. But the error messages that we're coming up with, and I looked it up, it's my Odroid XC4. They were basically indicating that there's a problem with the hardware and I should replace it.
Oh wow.
So this happens about once every other week. It was happening. If I would go to, so my mail server stuff has the home directories on an NFS share, which is shared by the X4 droid. And so when I would go log in to do something, I would always know if it asked me for my password that the home directory was gone, right? Because I have my SSH over there. So I'd have to, I got it down pretty easily. I'd have to SSH into the Odroid. I'd have to shut off NFS service, and then I have to unplug the storage, plug it back in, wait a couple of seconds, restart the NFS, and it should be fine. And then a few minutes later, my home directories would be okay. And so that was happening like once every other week, and then it started happening a little more frequently. Like it's been happening once or twice a week now. And it's happening that in conjunction with losing its network connection. So I think it was Saturday. Both the storage, the Odroid was out, and it caused my server to lock up or whatever. I couldn't access my server. And I have the monitor I had down here is an old flat screen monitor. It's probably like 12 years old or more. And it
only has a VGA plug?
Yeah, with only a VGA port on it. So I have to grab my monitor from upstairs, bring it down, plug everything in, and then fix everything and then take it back upstairs. So I got sick of doing that, and I'm like, I just got to bite the bullet and buy a new monitor. That way I can just have it down here. If I need to get into anything, whatever, I should be good to go. And so I bought a monitor, and I was like, I got to have a VGA and HDMI because this needs to attach to this other system. And I got it, and I plugged it all in. It works great. It works wonderful. And then I looked on the back of this other system. I'm like, God damn, it has HDMI out on it. And I didn't know that. I didn't notice that. I could have just gotten one with just HDMI, but I don't care. It's working great. I'm happy with it. So I got that. I was surprised that, like, I pulled this monitor out of the box, and not only did it come with an HDMI cable, like usually you buy a monitor, you don't get any cables with it. You got to buy that stuff extra. I didn't even notice that it came with an HDMI cable. It also came with a screwdriver to put it together.
Oh, wow.
So I was like,
I have,
wow.
I got Dell's Magic Jack was in West Palm Beach, and they're closed up their office, and I got a bunch of Dell monitors from them, and the Dell monitors are completely tool-free, and they came with every stinking cable, plus USB cables also.
Oh, that's nice. That is nice.
So Dan, this storage that you were talking about that your Odroid kept losing connection, was it USB?
Yeah, it is. It is USB. USB.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
And it's been fine. It was fine for a longest time. And like I said, when I looked up the error message I was seeing in the logs, it's kind of an indication it's starting to have a hardware failure. I have been watching the, Odroid
Smart
company? What is
Odroid?
Odroid.
It's not hard kernel, is it?
No.
Yeah,
yeah,
hard
I actually
kernel.
Think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, I was on the hard kernel, and I've been watching their page. The Odroid XU4 has been out of stock, and they expected stock back in March 2021, or to be coming in March 2020. So I've been keeping an eye on it.
Just get an Odroid N2, man.
And
move up in the world.
Well, I was watching this, and then I just the other day I popped over on Amazon. They had them in stock. So I grabbed one in stock because I just, like, right now, all I want to do is just swap it out.
I hear you, yeah.
So that's like, instead of having to fiddle a bunch of stuff around, my thought is, and I don't know if this is accurate. I'm hoping it's true. I'm hoping all I have to do is just power this down and take the EMMC off of there and plug it on, pop it onto the new one, and I should be good to go, right?
Yeah, just make sure your switch settings are correct.
Yeah, and then that's what I'm thinking. I should be good to go. And then I can look at some point, maybe upgrading and getting a new one. But I'll tell you, this caused another problem, like, last week. And so I fixed this, and when everything was back up and running, and it happened again on Saturday, or it happened like a second time, and I got it back up 2 days in a row, and I noticed like after a day and a half, 2 days, I wasn't getting any new email coming through. And I could send an email, but I wasn't receiving any email.
No one wanted to talk to you?
Yeah, apparently. No, the spammers stopping for a day or two, that's unheard of. But I was seeing the emails were coming in, and there was emails that were going to my account. It's just I wasn't able to pull them or read them. And I was looking through everything, and I wanted to try and fix this the best way I could. And I'll tell you what, I'm so lazy with searching anymore. Like, if the answer doesn't pop up within like the first couple of lines in the page, you know,
do you remember when you had to use books and go to the library?
I do remember. And like everything I tried to like put in the search engine, put into Google, like, hey, it was not at all the problem I was having. You know, it wasn't that I wasn't able to receive email, it that my client wasn't able to pull the email from the server. And every way I tried to word this, I kept getting nothing but I can't receive email. I can't receive email.
And IMAP?
I'm using IMAP with PostFix. And so I went in, looked at all the logs, no problems in the logs, nothing in the logs. Everything says I'm fine. It's Dovecat IMAP D server, that I'm using. And I ran the Dovecat admin commands and they were fine. Nothing was indicating a problem. But I noticed in my mailer directory that there was a lock file in there. And I thought, I'm looking at it like, I wonder if the problem is because of that lock file. But I tried a whole bunch of other things. I thought maybe one of the emails it was trying to pull was corrupted, so it was getting stuck on that. It wasn't, so I tried moving all the email out of there and doing the same thing. That didn't fix it, moved it all back. Tried a whole bunch of different things. I blitzed my index, recreated the index. That wasn't fixing it. So finally, I just moved that lock file out of there and everything was working again. Everything was working.
Move the lock file and just delete it.
Yeah, well, I didn't take it. I usually don't delete things out of hand. I'll move them and see if that fixes the problem, then I'll get rid of it.
Live dangerously.
Yeah, live dangerously.
The lock files need to be deleted.
And that was it. But I couldn't find anything about it. I was even searching specifically about that lock file, and I saw one post from, it looked like somebody put on a news group from, in Taiwan or whatever.
All right. So there's a couple of truisms in Linux. One, your problem is usually permissions. If it's not permissions, it's ownership. And the third thing is, it's a lock file. It just delete it.
Right. Well, I just wanted to be on the safe side because I couldn't get good information about this lock file.
It is always good to verify that the job that generated the lock file isn't running at the time. But if you can't find it, something's not failing, what's the lock file there for?
No, and that's why I thought that when I saw that lock file, I thought that was the reason, but I tried a whole bunch of different things. And so there we go.
Well, and the ultimate Linux solution is sudo rm asterisk.
Yes, that's it too. Get rid of that and all my email too and everything. My home directory. Blitz the server. That's.
But just think how much space you'd have.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So what's the other thing you bought?
Oh, that was it, the Odroid. So the monitor Odroid and the what Odroid.
Else? Oh, the sous vide and the Odroid. Oh, no, sous vide,
the monitor and the Odroid.
Now,
and the Odroid.
Question for you, Dan.
And none of them were from Fry's.
Yes.
Yeah. So isn't Fry's closing its doors for good?
They have already.
Oh, they're trying to blame the pandemic, but last time I went there, the shelves were freaking empty anyway.
Oh, really? You
know, well, I'll say this. Fry's, I've been to exactly two stores. I was to the store near our good friend Link in San Diego. That would be back 2 years ago. And then I was to the one in Indianapolis probably 5 years ago. And both were, at that time, not too bad. They were pretty nice. And for those who are East Coasters and have no idea what Fry's Electronics is,
it's microcessor.
Take a Micro Center, take a Best Buy, and take a convenience store.
Take a Micro Center, a Best Buy, and then grab like 17 Radio Shacks and shove them all together.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, not to mention the fact they all went, like the one I went to in San Diego actually had cologne on the shelf. Which I'm still trying to figure that one out. But then
are they saying geeks stink?
Well,
I was just gonna say yeah, geeks stink. That's why.
Yeah, but they had a vast amount of fat of bags of Doritos and crap like that, and balls energy drink, and it's just good stuff.
You reminded me. I'm in New York. I ought to stop by Micro Center.
Yes. And that's where I'm going to say I'm actually overdue for a trip to Micro Center, so I need to go take a trip. But like,
last Micro Center I was in was in St. Louis.
Micro Center is dangerous to me.
Yeah, it is because you might not walk out of there spending less than $100.
I treated myself for Christmas to a new desktop. So that came from there. I just put together a bar top, and that came from there. So, yeah.
For Fry's?
Yeah.
Dangerous.
Micro Center.
Oh, Micro Center.
Bar top. What do you mean? Like a bar top computer?
Bar top arcade.
Don't tell me. Yeah. Tell them. Here. Come closer to the mic and tell them. Come on.
No.
You can do it. Come on. Tell them.
She's not sure.
That's what she says.
Does she shop in her eyes?
I have the recordings that say otherwise.
Anyway. But yeah, does
she shop at Small Fry's?
Do you shop at Small Fry's?
There you go. Small Fry's.
That's what they asked. Rich wanted me to ask you that. It's okay. You're allowed to pull a Joel and say, fuck you, Rich.
Oh my God. Your kids curse like that?
She's 18.
Oh. Well, then there you go.
Yeah. But yeah, Fry's.
Oh, wait. I think that's the first F you Rich that wasn't from Joel.
Oh, there's been a couple of them.
No. Not hardly.
No, but anyway. If I'd have known Fry's was going out of business,
I think we've all cursed Rich at least one time.
At least.
You at least would have made one last pilgrimage there just to see how sad it was.
No, I would have gone for if they'd have had a sale or something and seen if there was anything worth, you know, snatching up for extremely low prices.
Right.
I was surprised, like, I kept reading the articles thinking maybe they were just going to go straight online, but they're closing everything.
Nope. Website's down too already. it's a little bit crazy. I've never seen a store. Well, granted, that sounds just like Fry's, because Fry's was infamous for shitty service. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that you couldn't get a good deal there, because you absolutely could. But, like I remember when I was there in 2018, I picked up, an SD card reader. The one end had USB-C, the other end had just straight up a USB on it. And it was actually high quality. It was nicely made. It was actually, the casing on it was metal, which is kind of unheard of with something like that. You know, but it definitely was from China. And I don't care. But, you know, what isn't? But, you know, like, it's just the weird combination of stuff I found in fries is just amazing. You know, but you know, that goes back towards where I was saying where I need to make my pilgrimage to Micro Center and pay tribute just so that they're there the next time I need something. So certain things like I'm looking for, like I'm probably gonna be picking up some new network cabling for when we move. Actually, I already have some, but I want to get some longer ones, for my office. Cause, I want to have, I don't remember if you were on the show when I talked about the network drops so I was getting, rich, but I'm having 4 drops installed in the bonus room upstairs. And one of those goes to the living room, one of those goes to each of the bedrooms. So, and then it's going to be installed right next to where, our cable deck is. And my cable modem will go in there, and then I'll just have the switch or two upstairs. And I'll actually probably put the switch or two in a couple of the other rooms, too, just because, you know, like, where my TV will be, I'll have, like, gaming systems and stuff plugging into that, as well as, I believe my Chromecast Ultra has Ethernet on, too. Just to put everything in there. And then... once I move, I'll pay the same price for my internet, but instead of only 50 meg down, I'll have a gigabit down. Ugh, AT&T is horrible. But things like that, I want to be picking, I want to probably try and pick some of those up at Micro Center just because part of the problem why price is going to go away, besides the pandemic, is that people are just going straight to Amazon whenever they want to buy something. Now, sometimes it's for a reason. You know, sometimes it's they have the best price. Sometimes it's just you don't want to, you don't mind waiting a day or so. But then there's other times when you're in the middle of putting something together and all of a sudden you need a part and they're the only place that has it. So, and if they're not there, you're kind of screwed. So I want to definitely make sure I start going to the local stores more often, just so that next time I really need them, they're there. So, but it's hit a lot of retail hard though. The pandemic really has, and others have just kind of just the stress of the pandemic is just, kind of done them in, like our local ham radio shop, Universal Radio, their showrooms are no longer open at all. I never even got to go to the new location, Alan, because it's now gone.
I know, I read about that. That sucks there, because that was my one fun thing of doing when I came out to Ohio and stuff, was going there.
Yeah, one of the very few places.
Always managed to spend some money in there. Yeah.
So there's so many fun things to do in Ohio, the one... was the ham radio shop.
That was the best thing for me, yeah.
Well, there's something to be said about going to the radio shop and actually picking up and figuring the radio and just figuring out, is it going to work for you? You know, buying something.
I'm going to check on the Life in Ohio podcast and see what other interesting things there are.
The Life in Ohio podcast is gone, but the blog's still there. But no, the Universal Radio, the owners were doing it for a long, long time, and they're just done. You know, it would have been nice if they would have found somebody to sell it to. Like, you know, I don't know if HRO would have bought them and made them a Columbus location. Right now, we don't have an HRO. We have. In the state, there's R&L, that's down by Cincinnati, up by Akron is a DX Engineering, and I think there might be an AEA in Cleveland, or Amateur, I'm not AEA, I mean AES, Amateur Electronics Supply, but, you know, it's difficult, Your user base, I want to say this, the user base for ham radio is probably 40s and higher, because kids who once, you know, people who grew up with the internet, it's not as amazing as it was to me, when I walked into my grandpa's ham shack and I heard him talking to some guy in Japan with the, you know, with a box full of tubes and an old wire antenna in his backyard, you know, that in the 80s, you know, that in mid-80s, that was impressive to me, you know. Now, when you can do that, like, with Zoom, it's like, is it really that exciting? Not anymore. So, to me, there's still kind of a mystique about it, you know. It's like, I was talking with a coworker today, you know, and basically I was telling him, I don't want to work until I die, you know. And I said, I eventually want to retire, and I want to be able to play with my 3D printer, to go take pictures, play with my radios, do all the things that I don't have time for when I work 40-plus hours a week. And have weird-ass schedules like I did this week.
And all that because...
So, Dan, you had a question for me?
Radio. Oh, no, my question was basically, I'm assuming that it's going to be fine to just pop that EMMC off of there and then pop it on the other next one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I didn't know if I had to do something special. Like, I remember I had to do some funky workarounds to get it written, the bootloader written properly.
Yeah, so. Yeah, but that's all on the EMMC,
That's what I thought. I didn't want to have to track down that crap again.
Yeah, I think I did a YouTube video on how to do that. And you people that sub my channel think I do YouTube videos for you? I do it for me, so I know how to do it again.
Yeah, that's the smart thing.
Yep.
That's one of the things. Like, one of the reasons why I'm hesitant about getting just replacing it with something new right now, is because I don't want to go through the whole hassle of having to go back and set all this stuff up right now. You know, it's just like, oh, that was
well. Or you could build your own containers and Docker.
I mean, I could, yeah, but...
then you could save your container off and then do it again.
Hey, you know, speaking of that...
Wait a second. You mean you're not running an ESXi cluster on ARM like I am?
Who, Joel or me? Or any of us? No.
Dan.
I bet, you know, I should think about doing that.
Well, then you can run Kubernetes.
Yeah,
you'd be smarter off just to do Kubernetes.
Yep. Kubernetes with Docker containers.
Ha-ha. So you know what? Here's something, Joel. Take this to your company. We've spoken about Jenkins and Team City in the past.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you what. We are moving away from Jenkins and Team City to GitHub Actions. And I'm blown away by GitHub Actions. Because it's almost too easy. Like, yeah, there's a little bit of the hurdle hump that you have to learn to get into anything that's new. But
you're right.
The hurdle from like Team City and then Jenkins, like getting into that and writing scripts and stuff on those things. No, GitHub Actions blows it right out of the water. And like already
so
many people have written things and it makes sense.
So tell me what GitHub Actions actually does.
So GitHub Actions is it's scripting that you can apply to your GitHub repositories. We're using it for CI from everything from testing all the way through to deployment. Because like Jenkins, I said, what happens? We do a PR, it runs the tests, It creates, when the tests are okay and it's approved, it creates the containers. It pushes the containers where they need to go, and it actually does the deployments for us into our dev and staging environments. And then we can take that to the next level and push them out through Jenkins into our production environment. We're replacing all that with GitHub Actions, which allows us to do all of that also. So, I mean, it's a really simple scripting language where you can define what it is that you want to do in a couple of steps, or you can go and people have put together a bunch of like actions, GitHub Actions already. So you could just say, using this GitHub action, this action script that somebody has already written, here are the inputs you put into that, and here are the outputs that come out. So it's like, hey, we need to bump a version. Here are the inputs. You give it your repo. It analyzes the commit messages and everything, and it looks and sees whether it has to do a major bump, a minor bump, a patch bump. And you can define, you can override that stuff, but already it's got it built in, and it returns the next version that you're supposed to have. And you're like, well, you know, how difficult is that to write? It's not overly difficult, but since somebody has already done it and it's been vetted and it handles every situation that you want to do and you can still override it, you don't have to redo it yourself. You don't have to do it yourself again, right? You don't have to reinvent the wheel. And then you can take that, and then somebody's already written something that you can bump a version, and then somebody's written something where you can create a Docker container very simply. And again, it's not hard, but all that stuff, the scripting has been done for you. You just pass in some variables, and you're good to go.
Well, very much that sounds like in very many ways, it's a lot like you say create a Docker container, but like, for example, I have been playing with Docker both on, I have a Docker on my Py3 that's running my MB instance, and I have also installed it actually on this very laptop I'm using. I have it on here, and on here I've got GitLab, Jenkins, and for some dumb reason I put Drupal on here just to mess around with it. But it was so easy to get them up and running. It was far easier to get it up and running in Docker than it would have been just doing it from the, you know, on the hardware itself, you know, and if I wanted to change the ports or something, or if I wanted to spin off another site running on the same system, I could, you know, and there's no reinventing the wheel and figuring out how to get it installed. It's just use the standard, container that's on docker.io and you're good to go.
One of the downsides to that is if you don't understand the underpinnings or how to actually do the install and build it, all that stuff yourself, you could run into problems down the line, of course, because just using somebody else's stuff. But, I mean, it does make things a lot easier. Like, so I found the GitHub Actions. I haven't done a lot in GitHub Actions myself personally, but I've been working with other teammates who've been doing it, and just looking at it, it makes perfect sense. And, you know, it's like, well, how does this work? And you look at where it's being pulled from. So you go over to that action repository and you read it, and the documentation makes sense. It's like, here are the inputs, here are the outputs, here's how it works. And it's been, people have been doing a great job with it, I think. It's everything that I've used, looked at so far makes sense, and the documentation has been great.
Alright, I'm gonna have to take a look at that, but have you used Ansible a lot, more or less? What's going on with that?
I've only played around or looked into Ansible beginning steps. I think Ansible's pretty cool. This wouldn't be like, this is a, GitHub Actions is kind of a different thing than Ansible. Like, Ansible would be for setting up.
Oh, I know that, but I'm just thinking, you know, how have these tools, like, that are open source, how have they evolved, and are they still, do you find them still very useful? You know, like, Jenkins was the cat's meow, like, 8-10 years ago.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a really good question. About 5 years ago, I thought Chef was the bee's knees, right? And Ansible, I would probably rather use Ansible than Chef. Even 5 years ago, I would probably rather use Ansible than Chef, because I think Ansible is a lot more flexible and not as dependent upon an infrastructure that Chef has. We're moving away from a lot of that for Docker containers. And so, I mean, Ansible's great for, and Chef are great for scripting deployment of building applications and server applications and stuff like that. I'm not sure how well those things come together with Docker. You know what I mean? Because Docker already has all that stuff, like, built in.
Right.
Okay, well, so Docker has to run somewhere.
Right.
And, you know, actually, so I'm on the virtual infrastructure team, but we also handle, you know, the physical hardware. So whether it's, you know, blades or rack mounts or whatever, we're responsible for that. And if you're having to do a lot of work, now the HP side of the house, there's Ansible scripts to do that. But actually, on the Dell side of the house, they have, you know, scripting built in, and it was actually kind of nice how it worked.
Yep.
Dell has its own scripting to deploy, like, to build what? Their
ESXi? You know, to configure, not necessarily ESXi, but to, like, say you want to change all of the passwords for a specific user for all of the iDRAX. And it's pretty easy to do.
Well, you know, that's a good point. I was approaching your question from the perspective of running or standing up, like, applications and services, not so much as the infrastructure that runs on. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we need to blast out this microservice or this web application or whatever, not, hey, we need to set up the cluster, the Kubernetes cluster that it's running on. I mean, makes sense to have something like Ansible or some tool to have that all scripted out, like, to be able to reliably do that on your infrastructure. If you're not relying on somebody like AWS or Google's cloud services to host those for you.
So I had to make a setting change on 327 servers. And I'm like, oh, okay, I could do it with Ansible. And then I look and find out that Ansible needs Linux, and I don't have access to Linux without a hassle.
So you blew that. So Ansible lets you do that pretty easily, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, it would have been easy.
Wait, you didn't have access to Ansible or Linux? So how did you do it? Or is this through the
PowerShell?
Oh, PowerShell. How easy was it in PowerShell?
It wasn't so bad.
Yeah, PowerShell is kind of underrated ways and unnecessarily wordy in others.
Well, then
that's
again,
my feeling.
How easy was it to set up the machines to be able to originally accept that kind of? So I'm assuming this is Windows machines, right?
No, it wasn't.
So you were using PowerShell on Linux?
No, I was using PowerShell on ILO.
What's ILO?
What? Yeah, I was going to say,
so ILO is like iDRAC. It's the out-of-band control of your blades and servers.
Oh, so you had to make a password, or you had to make, like, a password change on all those.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, okay. So when you do that, through PowerShell, is that just scripting, something to connect to all those? That's not like Ansible or whatever, though, is it?
No. It's kind of different ways of skinning the cat.
Okay. Right. So it's, you could have done that with, I guess, Python or Bash or Perl or anything, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
If you had access.
I didn't look that way, but.
Okay. So what you did was you scripted something that allowed you to do this across multiple systems very easily. As opposed to like what Ansible is.
Makes me wonder, could you set up Ansible in Windows Subsystem for Linux?
Yeah, I probably could have done that, but our jump box, is a server and, the Windows subsystem for Linux. I always want to say the other way around, Linux subsystem for Windows, because that makes more sense to me. But apparently that doesn't run on servers.
Well, not like, I think 2016 and 2012, probably not, but maybe 2019 I think will, but, that's actually something I have to look into. But that's, you know, automation is all about what my company's been, that's their mantra now, is they want to automate everything as much as possible. So, but we're putting a lot of legs behind that to trying to make sure that we are ready for that, because we're probably going to be embarking here in the next year or so, on a major project to migrate most of our clients from one AWS instance to another, because the instances they're on now are old, and the new ones have faster processors and all that jazz. So, we definitely want to do that. Not to mention the fact it's also a cost savings by deal with that. Usually the newer ones are usually cheaper. And the Linux ones are cheaper than that too, so wherever possible we're trying to figure out how can we make our product run on Linux boxes. Now on the SaaS side of things, the SaaS world, they already are doing that. They're running on they're starting on Postgres databases running on top of Amazon's Aurora DB. So that's one thing. And I'm taking many, many practice exams to get my cloud practitioner certification. Kind of one of the things I've been studying is that, and working towards understanding and working with containers, because we're going to be going to Kubernetes with a lot of things. So in the future, I imagine we may have one EC2 instance that might host both prod and non-prod UIs, but each of those are running on top of that with a container. So we'll see how that works. But
see,
they're
Rich,
saying that next year everything's going to be different.
When I go back to what I thought you were asking, in regards to using Ansible, my opinion on that, or my thought process in regards to how I would picture using Ansible, is that Ansible would be used to define and create and manage those blades, as opposed to necessarily just doing a, hey, I need to update password on there. You know what I mean?
Right. Now I've had Ansible set up in my home infrastructure, like when I set up a new machine and I want to have, the SNMP community string set up on it so my monitoring works and all of that stuff.
Uh-huh. And that's like Ansible would be like from nothing to your end state. This is what I would picture using Ansible for. And being able to replicate that. You still using that? That setup like that?
You know, it's funny. I kind of go in fits and starts. So I'll do it and then I'll stop and then, something will happen. I'll wipe that machine and then I'm like, oh, I wiped my Ansible instance out. So, then I got to go back and remember how I did it. Because I'll go through, you know, it's kind of like 3D printing. There'll be a time, like I just bought another Ender 3 at $165 from Newegg. Which got delivered while I was away, so I had my neighbor put it in my garage so my wife didn't see it.
Didn't go for the V2?
Nah, I got the regular one. The regular one was real good.
Yep.
So, but there'll be times where I wish I had two or more printers, and then there's, you know, times where I won't print for weeks.
Yep, I'm with you on that. It's like if the church ever asked me to 3D print like 300 or 400 things that they can have for a giveaway, I'd want another printer before I do that.
300 or 400? Are you out of your mind?
No, I'm not out of my mind. I would not put it past my pastor for asking me to do something like that. It might be one of those things where I'm like, can't we just order something?
I would be overwhelmed at printing like 20. All right, so there. Let's see. You gotta watch. There's a YouTube channel
on it that just keeps pushing them out.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of systems like that.
Yeah. CR30.
One of the the new Creality, right?
Yeah, Creality CR30 does that. Yeah.
So if you guys are into making things, there's a YouTube channel called The Craftsman. I don't know if it's that he leaves out the T on his title, but he does all sorts of cool things. So you could 3D print something, make a mold for it. And then just pop, you know, make a couple of molds and then just, you know, use epoxy or whatever to fill the mold and make the product.
Yep. I don't know if that would be faster necessarily because there's a curing time, but could be.
Well, look, when you think about the print time, if you're going to print any object worth having, it's going to take a couple hours. So if you have a couple of molds, that are ready to go, that'll run pretty quick.
Well, yeah, like one of the things I'm thinking about doing over the weekend is I found a model on Thingiverse for a self-watering pot for a plant. Because I was thinking my little office here is kind of depressing, so why don't I go ahead and do print something like that, and I can plant some mint or something that I just keep in my office, you know, just to kind of have some greener here because it kind of gets depressing in here. But, you know, hey.
Yeah, I don't think plants will make a difference for you, Joel.
Well, not until I get out of this freaking disaster of an area of an apartment complex.
Well, that's why I have an acre and a quarter yard full of, like, dragon fruit and palm trees and stuff.
Yeah. I'll never have that. Not even where I'm at. Well, it's like, if I were to plant things like that there, you know, like, to grow things that I can eat, and I'd have to do it in containers there.
Yeah, so. I just grow dragon fruit for the squirrels to eat, so it'd be nice if I got some.
You'll pick it, man.
I was like, this will be perfectly ripe tomorrow, and somebody got to it before me.
Did you try, did you ever see those owls that you can buy, the motion sensing owls?
No, I'll have to check that out. That might be a good idea.
We had a problem with squirrels eating our tomatoes, and my wife got one of those, and it did a pretty good job.
Just scares them away, huh?
It scared the squirrels away and attracted the kids in the neighborhood.
Yeah, but as long as the kids didn't eat the tomatoes.
Yeah, around here it wouldn't be the squirrels, it would be the wasps.
Yeah.
So if I had like a fruit tree or something out back, yeah, we'd have a lot more wasps.
You mean white Anglo-Saxon Protestants?
Yeah, that too.
The rock group. It would attract the old 80s wasp. Metal group, wasp.
Well,
and the hurricanes.
Metal is appreciated.
But yeah, no, the animatronic owl worked really well.
I don't think the wasps would care.
No, probably not. They worked well with squirrels and other birds.
Yep. So that pot though is two pieces, and it's an 18-hour print. So.
And you need to make 300 of them?
No.
200.
No, that's just something for me. thought, that's like if somebody, like, if somebody at church, like usually, like, for example, if somebody at church said, or like, actually I have a coworker, he is into Warhammer 40K. I don't think he plays the game, I think he just paints the miniatures. Alright? So he sent me this thing he saw, I don't know if that was on Thingiverse or not, but essentially it was a funnel for, transferring, say you have, two bottles of blue paint and, the other bottle's almost empty, but you don't want to waste the paint in that bottle, so you take a funnel and you pour it into the other bottle. So he asked me, you know, how long it would take to print one of those. And I said, I can print 20 of them in 2 hours, because they were small enough. Yeah, just print models on a bed, you know, or something like that. But if somebody asked me to do something, you know, depending what it is, I'd probably say, yeah, sure.
Wait, I'll what did it. He ask you to and print?
He's asking, he didn't ask me to print it, he asked me how long it would take.
To print what again?
A funnel.
A funnel?
Essentially, yeah.
And he's into Warhammer.
Yeah, this is for the paints, for dealing with the paints, and like merging two bottles together.
You know, I have to ask, why? Yeah.
I know the question you're going to ask, go ahead.
Why hasn't he put two and two together yet? 3D printer? Print your own fucking Warhammer.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've heard people talking about that. That is massive in the miniature world right now.
Considering how much it costs for Warhammer anything.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is go hit a couple of buttons on your 3D printer after you've got it all dialed in.
What is this Warhammer stuff?
Warhammer 40K is a board game.
Oh, okay.
The game is probably older than your kids.
Oh, it's really? Definitely older than your kids. That's like, now, you see, that's like Humble Bundle. I've been getting buku ads on Facebook for them, probably because I clicked on the first one. I haven't ordered anything yet, but so like one of the ones I saw today was like an add-on pack for the BattleTech game. So the BattleTech game, you have to buy in addition to purchasing that, you know, if you don't have the game. So I'm like, oh, I wonder if I can play. I don't have a machine that's capable of playing that right now. Because they want like a GTX, NVIDIA 960 card or better, and the processing power I have, but I don't have anything that has that good graphics right now. So it's like, but the game itself is $40, and I love playing BattleTech. I love playing the BattleTech and the MechWarrior games back in the early 90s. That's when I played most of them on the computer. But
I know Dead Island's on sale right now on Steam.
Yep. But in that case, that came from a board game as well, and those miniatures are ridiculous too. And that's because they're made out of actual metal.
Hey, once you paint that plastic, don't nobody know.
Truth. Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Truth. I haven't actually found a... I actually need to look. There have been some, my favorite clan mech, the Timberwolf. I'd love to print that. Timberwolf, and I think it was called the Mad Cat from the Inner Sphere. So BattleTech was a great game. And it's one of those things where I'd love to play it, but nobody around me wants to play it. So it's like, you know.
Did somebody just say, oh, God?
Probably my son.
Tell him move out on his own if he doesn't like anything you're doing.
That's what I keep telling him.
There's the door. Don't let it hit you on the ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Alan's going to be saying that to his kid soon, right?
Both kids. He's got two now.
Two?
Yeah, two of them now.
Dude, you keep making them, huh?
Not anymore now.
So you got the snip?
I didn't. She did.
Ah, there you go.
Two is more than enough. I have no place to live right now anyways. I mean, my house has been taken over by toys and everything else, so.
Oh, come on. Tell us you don't like playing with them toys.
Depends on the toy.
I'll just say, yeah, it depends on the toy, but it's just like it's like a minefield I have to step over all the time.
Oh, okay. You got the Lego blocks impaled in your foot?
Of course he did.
I have, yes. Yes, I have.
So are you 3D printing Lego blocks or what?
Man, you know, I bet that takes some real dialing in.
I could not get the damn things to get, because they're so small. Even if you make a whole bunch of them, I just could not get them to stick no matter what I did to the fucking printer.
Yep.
So small and very sharp corners and the circles on the inside. Too. Yeah, it's you're not going to have a whole lot of luck.
I never really thought about it. Yeah, if you're doing supports or no supports, it's a screwing either way.
I guess the other style of printers, the
stereolithography or resin printer?
Resin printers, there you go. Resin printers might be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. So no FDM Lego blocks.
I'm sure there's somebody out there that'll tell you can do it.
Yep.
Well, I'm sure you can, but like my machine is not going to do it. I know that much.
I have, everyone likes to print benchies occasionally to test things.
I've never printed a benchie.
Ah, you're missing out.
What's a benchie?
That's a fun print. It's a little tugboat. Yeah, it's a little tugboat, and it's kind of a torture.
I don't know why they don't call it Boaty McBoatface as opposed to benchie.
But they call it benchie because it's a benchmark print, because you can tell how well your printer is dialed in, because it has some overhangs in it. And you print it with no supports on purpose. It doesn't need any. But usually that's one of the things I will print when I get a new filament color. So it's somewhere around here, I got a box full of jeeps.
Well, but, I usually print a temp tower, so I know how my printer's going to work with that filament.
Or that. Yeah, we can do that too. So one day I decided, well, I haven't gone for the, like, some idiots will print the really big one, like they'll scale it up like 200% or more. I went the opposite way. I think I printed one that was 25% the normal size, really teeny tiny. It actually came out pretty nice. I'm kind of impressed, actually, how well it came out, but for an FDM printer, when I print things, I want to print things that are functional, you know, like hooks.
As opposed to dust collectors?
Yes.
Wait, don't be careful when you say you're printing hooks, because somebody almost went to jail for that. Or probably is going to jail for that.
Hookers?
No. He was printing coat hooks, but the part of the coat hook was identical, functionally, to a registered drop-in auto sear.
A register drop in what?
Auto sear. So you could take an AR-15, drop this part in it, and it's fully automatic.
Okay.
Interesting. But yeah, so it's things like that, you know, I actually designed a little thing that will hold, like I had a, bought like a 3 or 4 pack of Burt's Bees, and it was just kind of laying on my desk, and I'm like, let me fix that. So I printed that's an interesting one. I designed it so that it would hold the chapsticks, and I also, on the back side of it, I thought, what else do I got? Oh, let's put USB drives there, because I just bought four or five pack of 64 gig USB drives from Amazon. From Micro Center, and so I put those in there because I wanted something that I can boot, have the for booting laptops off of for installing Linux and stuff on it, because I needed, actually, one of the things I wanted to do is I wanted to install RHEL 8 on a laptop, since you can have one license for nothing and have full OS updates and everything.
How many of Fedora can you have?
Well,
infinite?
I'm limited.
Exactly.
Yeah, but what am I working with on the AWS instances? Red Hat. So, yeah. So, I'm still trying to figure out what we're going to do. We have several that servers that run CentOS, and I'm just wondering where we're going to go for on that. Since CentOS is CentOS like official?
Did they get him? They got him?
Yeah, they got him.
No, I'm sure. I'm just not pressing the button enough.
Maybe him 3D print something for that.
Is Cento, yeah, right. Is CentOS...
Make yourself a foot pedal with a single button.
There you go. Is CentOS fully gone now, though? I mean, is it gone, or...
Did you say fully or fully?
Well,
fully.
There's a version of CentOS. What is it called? CentOS,
Caldera. It's called Caldera.
Well,
right?
I know there's Rust.
No, there's forks. No. But there is a version of CentOS still out there. CentOS Stream. There you go.
Okay, that's the one, yeah.
Are you talking about what CentOS is now? CentOS Stream?
Right.
Yeah.
Which that's actually, Stream is more or less a unstable version, though, right?
Something like that. Stream is not a replacement.
It's not.
Preview of what's next in RHEL.
Right, exactly. So it's probably not the most stable, not the bestest of ideas to deploy production servers on.
But there are forks.
Yes, there are.
I think there's multiple forks at this point.
It was what, Rocky Linux and...
Yeah, Rocky Linux.
A couple others. So I don't know what we're going to go through on that, but lately I've been doing like a lot more training than actual real work.
Project Linux, Cloud Linux.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's a couple of others.
Because yeah, these servers aren't high processing. You know, they're not like our core colleague servers. We never run them on anything but RHEL, because first off, RHEL is the only thing certified. The rest of the stuff is like the two CentOS server will run two services technically. It will run RabbitMQ as well as messaging adapter that kind of is the intermediary between Rabbit and our colleague system. So those two services run on the same server the way we have our infrastructure designed today. So. And so one of the lesser skilled admins picked up a ticket to upgrade one of my other schools, and I took a quick look at their server, because one of the first things I wanted to make sure of is I wanted to make sure it was already on Tomcat 8, and it was. So then we went ahead and built WAR file and deployed it there together, and he wants me to help him when I go to do production. So I'm like, yeah, sure, but you're gonna be driving. So that's my whole thing nowadays seems to be, I'm trying to make sure that my junior admins that work under me know what the hell they're doing. So what's funny is some of the what we call CAM or client forget what the A means, but basically they're the project manager, you know, the manager that helps manage the cloud instance for them. So they're the ones that, you know, keep after us on tickets and whatnot. One of them, she slaps me and says, "Why is he doing that?" I says, "Cause he's got to learn it." He doesn't know how to do it. He's got to learn it. I'm going to teach him. So. Because I don't want to be the only one that knows how to do anything. Yeah, I might be teaching myself out of a job at some point, but, you know, hopefully I have the skills to move up a level, so, you know.
Hey guys, I gotta say goodnight here. The battery on the phone is dying, so.
Have a good one, they got you. Have a good one.
Good night.
Yeah, pretty much. Have a good one, everybody.
See ya.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to sleep tonight.
You're going too, Rich? Alright.
Wait, did he leave? Oh, that was fast. He just up and left.
Who, Rich?
Like, F you guys.
Earlier, Dan, you were talking about your Odroid, and the storage, you said it was on USB 3. And what I was saying, gonna ask you was, are you plugging that directly into the Odroid, or are you plugging it into a hub first?
No, it's directly into the Odroid. It comes from the storage chassis directly into the Odroid.
Okay. And then are those hard drives like desktop style, where they have to have adapters plugged into them, or are they portable?
No, the it's in that that Pro Box that I have where you plug the hard drives into it and then it connects. Yeah, so yeah.
Okay, so alright. So what I was gonna say is I just bought a hub not that long ago that I was gonna highly recommend you pick up if they were just like one of my favorite hard drives are the USB ones that run completely off of USB. Like the Western Digitals or the Toshibas or whatever. I don't have a preference. As long as it's cheap and got enough storage, I'll buy it. One of the problems that I have is my Surface Pro, which is my main like editing rig right now. It only has one USB drive or one USB socket on it. So I bought an Aki 10-port USB 3 hub where all the ports are USB 3, and it has been pretty flawless. I'm really liking it. If you're going to buy a USB hub, don't try and go with the Chinese brand, you know, the Chinese no-name things that are $15. But spend the money. This is about a $40 USB hub, and it's worked. It's been flawless.
What do you have plugged into it? Your storage?
Yeah, I got like I have a SanDisk SSD plugged into it, and I have another like a Western Digital Elements. Laundry's done.
Yeah.
Western Digital Elements 1 terabyte drive, thumb drives. I also plug in like I have a USB microphone plugged in. Plugged into it specifically a Blue Yeti. That's what I record the Living in the Shade in an 80s arcade podcast with. So that's plugged into it. And the great thing is I don't have to unplug nothing, you know, and one plug going into the I actually do have like a, technically, technically this hub I got plugging into another hub, but that hub is just one that's designed to plug into the side of the Surface Pro. And it has a, the monitor port as well. Mini display port. So, it's got the mini display port and the USB socket. And then that adds, Ethernet and, a micro SD and a regular SD reader as well as 2 USB ports. So, but that's just, it just got to be, that's not enough. Like, for example, if I'm archiving stuff off of the SSD is my main work drive, but it's only like a terabyte. So at some point I have to move stuff off of it, off to a spinning disk. So the way it was, I really didn't have enough power in the USB drive, the USB hub hanging off the side of my Surface. Once I added this, I can definitely do that because this one is a powered hub. Has a 3 amp power adapter, and I've had multiple spinning discs plugged into it, not a problem. And it works wonderfully. So it's actually designed kind of to fit with the iMac aesthetic too. So it's kind of pretty, and it has a like the outside of it's kind of metal mostly. So I'll put the link here in the Mumble chat. Actually, I put it in the IRC. And who'd have thought they would have made a 10-port USB hub?
That's a lot of USB devices being plugged in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually have, like I said, I actually have a cheaper one that I tried first. I basically spent a gift card that my niece gave me for Christmas, on it, and, it kind of works, but its problem is the adapter that came with it is just not powerful enough. The kind of nice thing about that one though is it actually, each port actually has a switch associated with it, so, if you decide you don't need something on it, rather than unplugging it, you can just flip the switch. So, which is kind of, really kind of lazy when you think about it, but, but it just, even with that, it just wasn't enough. It might be enough for, like, I'm probably gonna end up using it for is once I get the office move, my little Pac-Man light, that I got, another Christmas gift I got, it's a USB powered one, so when I may use it to power that, plus maybe I might pick up a Pac-Man Ghost that's the same from the same company that made the Pac-Man light, and then buy that to sit next to the Pac-Man in my office once we move. Right now, there's no space for it, but you know, but. It'd be fine for stuff like that where it doesn't require a lot of juice, you know, like keyboards and stuff like that would probably work just fine off that, but spinning hard drives don't really work too well on it. The next thing I need to pick up for the home office, I'm going to get a 16-port switch from my office.
What are you plugging into that 16-port switch?
Everything. No, I'll plug my cable modem will plug into that, and then I'll have a cable running over to my where my work laptop is, and I'll probably put one on this too. So right now it's running off fine, okay on Wi-Fi. Because the worst part of my mesh ASUS network that I bought. That replaced my old router was the main unit only has one USB port on it. So it's not like most off-the-shelf routers which have four ports on it. It only has one. So that kind of sucks. And the node, each node only has one as well. So, but those, when I set it up at the house, will be plugged into either directly to the wall jack or a switch that's plugged into the wall jack. Probably in most cases a switch is plugged into the wall jack so that my backhaul for the mesh network is going to be all wired. Because the Zenmax Mini that I bought, some of the mesh networks have their own wireless backhaul that runs on a different protocol. This one does not. So I'll just have a wired backhaul, which to me is more reliable anyway. And I may pick up another node or two. I'm not exactly sure how many nodes I'll need for the new house. The three I have is supposed to cover 1,400 feet. But I just looked it up the other day. Our new house is 2014 foot. So now I really do think I need to buy another node or two.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting super tired. I'm probably going to crash out here, too. Pat left.
It's almost 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Time to start, I guess, wrapping this up.
Last show for February.
That is true. That is true. Well, I thought it was something else I was going to say. Covered the place.
Happy year anniversary of the pandemic.
Yeah, that's coming. That's coming up like right around my birthday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shutting everything down.
Is anybody you know actually? I actually know several people that have gotten the vaccine. I have not yet.
I have my neighbor's fiance got the vaccine because she works in the hospitals. My neighbor, his wife got the vaccine because she works in the hospital. My mother-in-law got the vaccine. She gets, I think she got her second shot or she's getting it this week. Or is it next week? I'm not sure, but she either has it or she's getting it in the next couple of days. I know a lot of people who want the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's, trying to think, do I know anybody else who had the vaccine? No, those are the only people I know right now, personally.
Interesting. Well, I've never, the company really hasn't said anything yet on whether they're doing something special to see if we can get it or not. To be honest, there's other people that are more at risk that I'd rather have it right now.
Right.
So yeah. Anyway.
Well, I mean, I guess if the Johnson & Johnson one starts rolling out, that will move us up, Joel. Move everybody up.
That would be awesome. So it's only me and you, so let's play us out, man.
All right. Thought there was something else, but fries is gone. Wow. That means I won't be getting any more emails from them that I don't even look at. I guess that's too bad, huh? Oh, you know what? Are you still there?
I'm here.
Oh. It was my daughter's 9th birthday. On Sunday.
Making me feel old, my man.
Yeah, and wishful thinking, baby. She's been like, I want to learn how to program games. I want to make my own games.
Oh,
so
boy.
She loves Roblox, so I got her a Roblox coding book, but then I also got her coding for kids, like the first book for coding for kids. So we'll see. I mean, she's been looking through them and carrying them around and stuff, so. That's wishful thinking there. I said, when you're ready.
You know what I had to say? Do I wish my son would actually get into computers and the IT stuff like I am? Now, where I am in my career now, I'm thinking nope. Just because I know what it's like to work in IT and I don't know. I don't know if I want to wish that at anybody sometimes. Yeah. You know what I mean? The long hours, the weird hours that you have to work sometimes.
Yeah. We shall see. All right,
I'm going to play the...
Whoa! What was that?
All you, dude.
Where'd that come from? All right, here we go. Here the promos. Have a good night. And we'll see you in March.
Oh my God, it's
Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, what's up, more Nancy?
Hey, man.
I believe the noise was me.
That's why I was looking around. I'm like, who jumped in? Because something went crazy there.
I just wanted to say, if she wants to program, I was talking about that Kano OS for the Raspberry Pi.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It has Scratch built into it. And
Scratch,
everything that's on there, you can program in Scratch. So it has a... like a 16-bit game board, almost like Zelda interface, along with the desktop interface, where you explore the Pi and go to like the tennis court, and the tennis instructor tells you about Pong, and then tells you how to edit the code for Pong, and everything on it is like that. It would be a great thing to learn to program.
You know what? I completely forgot about that. I know you had mentioned that a while ago, and I looked into it, and it looked really cool. I'm going to have to look into that again.
I have a Kano screen, the little pseudo laptop / tablet that's running the Linux, not the Windows, and I love it. I personally love mine.
I've been thinking about buying one of those.
If you have a Pi, if you have a Pi, just download the OS for free.
There you go.
I tried it out because I wasn't sure if I wanted to dump $200 into one, and before they even had the screen, and it absolutely hooked me right away.
Right.
Wait, what was that called again?
K-A-N-O.
K-A-N-O. OS. If you want me to send you the link, I'll dig it up again. I sent it to...
It's right here. Kano is the device.
If you Google reinstall Kano OS, it takes you to the page for the image to put on an SD card for the Pi.
You see, you were talking earlier in the show about you bought a monitor, Dan.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm thinking about doing is I already have like an extra monitor here that I actually use for my work machine. What I'm thinking about doing though is buying two matching monitors that I'll plug into the work machine, and then take the one I have in the work machine right now and use it for things like playing with my pies. I have the 7-inch official Raspberry Pi LCD. It works pretty nice, but it's almost too small to use. You know, it's better for like doing things like an informational display. Which actually, that's one of the things I'm thinking about doing with it. I'd like to have it like sitting on my desk with a clock and stuff like that on it. I just haven't found the software that I like for it yet. Or written it either. So
why? So why do they sell the Kano PC with Windows pre-installed and have Kano OS separate?
So they were specifically a Raspberry Pi company. They were one of the first groups to come out and say the Raspberry Pi is awesome, but you need to have more design and focus around it. Let's make it like an old Apple where people are just wowed by their experience. why they went to Windows for their new laptop thing, I don't know. I'm disappointed in that, especially with all the hard work they put in with the
How big's the screen?
It's a 10-inch. They were the only company to use the Raspberry Pi for the Linux one.
You said that's the magic number there. You said 10-inch, and I think at that screen size, that Microsoft gives you the OS license for free.
There were two official Raspberry Pi screens, a 7-inch and a 10-inch.
Nobody
did anything with the 10-inch screen. The Kano was the only company that came out with a...
interesting.
10-inch for the Pi. The one I have is not touchscreen. I think they added the touchscreen features later.
Plus, this is a this is x86 too.
The Windows laptop one is x86.
Right. Because see, that's some of the same problems I was running into. I've been playing with Docker containers on my Pi 3, and my problem is occasionally, like, if I wanted to, like, I tried to install GitLab on the Pi 3, and it can do it. You know, I'm pretty sure there's enough horsepower, but the problem is the Docker image is tailored towards x86. So, as most Docker images are. So, just couldn't get it running on the Pi 3. But it did get, MB works wonderfully on it.
There's a specific image for the Raspberry Pi to run Docker. That's like
there is.
They have a pirate logo. I have it installed. I haven't done much with it. But...
And I have tried booting my Pi up from the USB 3 drive, specifically my Pi 4. It works, but my micro SD slot's almost always faster booting. It just is faster, so haven't gotten around to researching it, see if I can find a faster USB 3 drive that I can plug into it.
Yes, you are.
I thought you guys were all busy shooting the cold away.
Is that what we're doing?
I mean, that's at least what the memes say.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you own more guns than I do, Rich.
I'm pretty sure I own more guns than most people on this chat added up together. Not except me. Pat. Wait, Pat might have me.
I probably made more guns than you have.
Wait. You got a 3D printer?
Made more guns than Rich owns. There you go. There you go.
No, I don't.
No, you might not be right.
Hey,
I really should get my SOT license.
Did you make your black powder guns?
No.
Oh.
Dan, you shoot black powder?
No, Pat. No, I was asking Pat.
I've got a couple. No, I didn't make them though.
No, I was just wondering because it sounded like you knew what you're talking about. I was wondering if you're into that.
Black powder's cool for what it is. You know, the biggest pain in the ass with black powder is you gotta fucking clean it right away, otherwise it gets all rusted.
Oh, it's corrosive?
Yeah.
Wait, how you need to clean it after you go out hunting, right? Or do you need to clean
you
it
shoot
like,
it. You after, gotta clean
right
it
after
out.
You shoot it, you gotta clean it. Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, as long as I've known Mordency for a long time, now that I see his name, I keep thinking less Dancy.
Because less is more, right?
I guess, right?
I do not like less. I'm so sick of using... I mean, more. I love less. I don't like... I'm not a big fan of more.
Dude, I just cat things, you know?
A cat and then pipe it through what? Less?
No grepping?
Yeah, if I'm using cat, I'm using grep.
Right? I've been playing around with Docker. Woohoo!
Doc what?
Docker.
I know.
So what's the difference between S3s and S8s?
About 5 generations.
Oh, serious? Because I thought S3s were for, like, ARM, and S8s were something else.
S3? And I'm pretty sure the S8 is significantly bigger than the S3.
Oh, okay.
Which is, well, you know, if Amazon did that, yeah. But see, S3 is for storing objects, not just files, objects.
No, no, that's something different.
Oh, we're not talking about the Samsung phone?
Sure, I guess. S3s are really freaking old then.
Yeah.
Like, older than Dan's old phone.
Yeah, wait, but I think that's the last generation phone you can get that's still going to be able to use cellular networks once they drop everything 3G and below.
I don't know about that, really.
Yeah, the S3, I think, was the first 4G Samsung Galaxy phone.
Really?
I don't remember that.
I don't even think it was LTE.
No, I know it definitely wasn't LTE.
Maybe,
but I don't remember the S3.
What was before LTE? Was a Sprint network thing. What was it? I can't
doesn't
remember
matter.
Anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's all marketing hype.
T-Mobile has the biggest 5G network. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever, dude.
However they define big. You know, it's like, oh, it's the world's biggest building. Oh, no, that's the Vertical Assembly Building. No, that's the Boeing Building. No, that's the Empire State. It's like, oh, which is the world's biggest building? Well, you know, if you're talking about vertical space, horizontal space, or, you know, complete volume.
At least I found out the rhyme and reason for the weird switches in my apartment.
Now, we're not talking Ethernet, are we?
No, the wall switches. No, they are actually covers over standard toggles, you know, regular old school toggle switches. The way I found that out is because the garbage disposal they installed, 2 weeks ago, isn't working already. Let's just say this. I cannot wait till my house is finished because this apartment drives me crazy with how silly and stupid some of their fixes are. But that's all right.
Yep.
That's why I'm building a house. That, and I can't stand this many people living in close proximity of each other.
Isn't Luke in college? You could have just sent him away.
No, he has a problem with it now because they're the community college he does go to, which is my old employer. I think even this summer are planning on not having in-person classes. And I'm
tired of it. A lot of colleges, even though there's not in-person classes, there's still, you know, kids on campus and in the dorms.
Yeah, like I think Ohio State has like one class per student per week that's actually in person or something stupid like that. But that's like, I went to breakfast with guys from church last week ago, this coming Saturday. And they had removed like half their tables. And of course, this woman, God love her, but she permanently has Christmas trees up in her restaurant like all the time. Yeah,
that doesn't bother me at all. It really actually doesn't, because the food is delicious. So it's like, I don't really care what the decor of the restaurant looks like, as long as it's good. You know, but like, I feel sorry for her. I mean, this is a mom and pop restaurant, and they were closed down for, what, 2-3 months because of the pandemic, and now they have to operate in this lower capacity. It's like, it's kind of depressing, really. And then I heard today the my favorite geek locate store of the West Coast is now gone.
Fry's? What?
Yep. Fry's, they shut down completely.
Wow. Abruptly closed overnight.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they didn't have any notices. Like, you know, one day they come to work and they're done.
No way.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, when I read the articles, I thought, we should save it for the show.
Yeah, are we going to have a show?
Yeah.
Well, freaking start it. It's 8:36. Let's go.
Sorry.
You got that.
You don't have to apologize.
Oh. It does to me.
Shut up.
Uh-oh. Cat
my house has a roof now.
The roof.
Does it have walls?
Or does just it have frame? Tiles on the roof, or is it for like, next year?
It has the external walls. Yeah. Well, I don't know when they're putting. Well, I assume they'd be putting roofing on pretty quickly.
Does Joel just fly his drone by to check on the house?
I can't fly it that far, you know.
It'll probably get done in January or February.
Of 2024.
No.
Exactly.
It's going to be done May 2021. Because if it ain't, we go on house shopping. No, I'm kidding. It probably would keep going because it's just like, I keep, you know. It's like this apartment, you know, it's like, since we moved in here, let's see, we had the water pipe freeze, we had the garbage disposal go out twice, the first time there was a leak under the sink, and then what else, the tub, when we first moved in, the tub was not draining right in my son's bathroom, so I'm like, thinking more and more, I'm like, yeah, we're making the right choice, building a brand new house, because I don't really, you know, I don't really want to, I want at least some break of that kind of shit, you know?